Blog Talk Radio.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side, he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rather than death. Or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay, there is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said the destiny of man is not measured by material compositions. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. He said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth.
No weapons of mass destruction were found.
Are you kidding me? Do you buy that? There were.
I was 5 and he was 6. We rode on horses made of sticks. He wore black and I wore white.
Come on, let us shoot. Blair. Warren.
Hey, I need to get the brass to drop ramps. I got a wounded girl. We need to take the rest of mine.
Oh, it's their fault for bringing their kids to a battle.
That's right.
The main reason we went into Iraq at the time was we thought he had weapons of mass destruction. It turns out he didn't, but he had the capacity to make weapons of mass destruction. But I also talked about the human suffering in Iraq.
Hello, boys and girls. I have a special message for you from the President of the United States. I salute the boys and girls who are buying United States savings stamps and bonds, and they're giving important support to the cause of freedom and the men who fight for us in Vietnam.
Congress gave us this authority in August 1964 to do whatever may be necessary. That's pretty far-reaching. That's the sky's the limit.
As an American citizen, you have to respect our president, whether I like it or not. It's really not my decision, but I do respect my president, and I will support whatever decision he makes.
Music played and people sang. Just for me, the church bells rang.
It is a hard fact that U.S. strikes have resulted in civilian casualties.
Now he's gone. I don't know why.
Plant the seed in our home, my boys. Let it grow where all can see. Feed it with our devotion, boys. Call it the Liberty Tree. It's the tall old tree and the strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty. Save it from the storm, boys. Water down its roots with sea. And the sun will always shine on the old Liberty. free. It's a tall old tree and a strong old tree. And
all right, everybody. Joseph Gibson here, podcasting live. Greensboro, North Carolina. 657-330-6166. If you want to call in here tonight, then you need to join in. I did not do this show, did not have it programmed and did not advertise the show, but I figured I'd just go ahead and do one because, you know, you never know when you're not going to do a show again. I mean, today, you know, you never know when you may end up in a concrete box. You know, they could snatch you up and throw you in jail. I mean, it's an emotional thing. It's a powerful thing. It's a captive thing. It's a frightening thing. You know, when you're going to jail, you know, that's it. I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when they kidnap you? And that's what I said today. I did. I told the sheriff today, you know, down there when they were, I had to strip down, of course, you know, and they got to put you in those pants, I had the tan pants and the tan shirt and the yellow slippers there. And, you know, I said, hey, you're kidnapping me. He says, what do you mean kidnapping? You're kidnapping me. Simple as that. What did I do? I didn't do nothing. Who did I hurt? Is there somebody out there that I hurt and injured? Why are you grabbing me, handcuffing me, and bringing me here? What's going on here? What? Why am I being kidnapped? Didn't have a clue what I was talking about. So obviously the Patriots out there are not getting the word out. They have not got the word out. And me, as one of the people out there that is a podcast show host that has lost his children, has lost his family because of this podcast show, what's the sacrifice for? What are we sacrificing for out there? You know, where's all these jailhouse lawyers out there that have all the answers? You know, we're going to file this, we're going to file that. Well, I did speak to some people tonight, and they said they're going to help me. And I'm not going to give any names, but they said, yeah, you know, show us the documents, your court documents, and there's stuff that you can do to try to help you out. Because if we all know, we go back to the case of May 9th. If you missed that show, go back and listen on May 9th. We had a 10-year-old on here that was kidnapped. And he said he was kidnapped. And nowhere did I influence him to try to persuade him to think he was kidnapped. He actually came out and said he was on his own. But that show apparently is not, it's not, I'm unfitting. I'm not a good parent because of that show. I'm unfit. Yeah, I'm unfit because of that show. You know, I want to say hats off to my lawyer here today that I did have, you know, I know a lot of people are against lawyers, but I will say he kept his word. He kept his word, and I want to thank him for that. He kept his promise, and he did what he was supposed to do, and that's good. Hopefully that we can move forward here, you know, but why are we moving forward? What's going on? You know, why am I not allowed to see my children? Why? What's the reason? I mean, we've covered cases like this on my show. And it didn't start with me. We've covered cases like this throughout the years. The Pelletier case, that made national news. Remember, I sparked that off, Pelletier case. It was on this show, and then went to Captain's show, then went on Glenn Beck, and it was on CNN, and then Fox News. We sparked that talk there about CPS and the kidnapping of children and families that suffer through the family court system out there across America. We analyzed that. We had the Schwab family on here. If you remember correctly, I was very instrumental in helping them get their voice out, and they actually came on about a couple years ago and thanked me, the children. The thing of it is that we've been an advocate here, a staunch advocate, but why now I'm facing this problem and I can't win? I should be the victor of all this. I should be standing on top of the mountaintop saying, you can't touch me, because otherwise you're going to face the wrath of my podcast and all my followers and all my supporters and all my friends, right? Right? I mean, that's how it should be. I mean, let's go to another subject that we've addressed here, post-traumatic stress disorder. With Army, we have many veterans on this show, many veterans. We go all the way back to the O'Reilly Factor. Remember the O'Reilly Factor, Fox News? They had the O'Reilly Factor on. I had the guest down there, Sean Rowe, United States Army veteran. We're putting together a team to go against veterans against ISIS. Remember? Huge story back in 2015. I covered it. But where are my brothers and sisters at? Nowhere. Let's see. Well, let's go on here. We can go on and on and on about the many topics and subjects that we've covered. And the thing of it is that today I didn't have anyone really standing behind me. By the way, those of you don't who are friends of the show, know Dr. Peter Ventura was there with me today. He was there with me today. He saw firsthand what had happened. The corruption of the courts, the corporation, the disgusting corporation, and all their bat faggots that follow them. Okay, he saw firsthand. But the thing is, what are you going to do? That's what he says. What are you going to do? You got to follow the system, right? I mean, after all, where is everybody? Well, we're burning down, let's see, buildings across America in some cities, right? All right. Still, nothing's changed. Nothing's happening. We did shows with the militias. Remember, we called out all the militias. Did shows with them. Gun rally. Remember that one? We called the NRA. We had them live on the show. We put them on the spot. Gun Owners of America. We had all this. We had militia people come on here. And, you know, we're going to do this, that. And nothing has changed. We're still slaves. We still must obey and follow the system and do what we're told, right? We have to do what we're told. And if we're told you give up your children and you obey and you go through the system and you pay lots of money if you have it or go out and make it, lots of Federal Reserve notes, that is, not money, you will do it. Otherwise, there's nobody that's going to save you. Nobody. Because the troops are not coming down from the hills. They're not coming. Okay? Nobody's coming. The cavalry is not coming to help you. And a lot of you out there know that because you've been in the situation that I've been in, that I'm now in. So you get that. You understand that. But the question of it is, okay, now what do we do? Do we lie down? Do we live on our knees? Or we die on our feet? What do we do? You know, do we die on our feet? I would rather die on my feet. I'd rather go out swinging. But you know what? I'm thinking to the point right now, you know what? I'm packing my shit up, and I'm getting the hell out of here. Screw it. Screw it. Let's get the hell out of here. You know what? Screw North Carolina. Screw Rockingham County. Screw this place, and screw everybody here. You know what? Why? Why? Why fight? Why? Well, you're just going to abandon your kids. You're never going to see them again. I'm not seeing them now, and I'm told I'm not going to see them for years. So what the hell am I doing here? Go someplace else. Start over. Well, that's all you could do, right? I mean, what do you think? I mean, I don't know. What do you think? What would you do? Look, now, people that know me, you understand that I was in prison years ago, got in trouble, you know, whatever, military, whatever you want to criticize me about. We know what happened to me. I worked for the government there, undercover there, blah, 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 blah. So I had 2 murder attempts, and I relocated here to North Carolina, started a new life, and this life sucks as of right now. It started out sucky. It went through the middle of the park there, like sucked like hell. And you know what? At the end here, it sucks. And everyone around here sucks. And I can't stand this place. I never liked it, never did, and I probably never will. So why not go someplace else? You know, but where am I going to go? I'm going to go back up to Connecticut. Well, that's an opportunity. I know a lot of people up there. Probably get, you know, start a business up there maybe. Relocate. I'm at a good age still where I could probably start a business. You know, what am I going to do? Meet another girl and have a couple more kids at my age? Hell no. That ain't going to happen. You know, I mean, so what's the point? Why not fight here? Why can't I get my friends and family around here to rally around the wagons and freaking fight and do what they're supposed to do instead of crying like a bunch of bitches or robbing me while I'm in a cell? Why not? Because we live in a dumbed down, morally bankrupt society that is broken, and we're in the end times, and we know that. And we talked about religion and God many times. Look, brother against brother, it's the way it is. Children rising against their parents, you know, women ruling over their men. We talk about it, we see it, but we deny it. So it's not going to change. So that's just the way it's got to be. That's just the way it is. It's not going to change. Nothing's going to change. Be happy with what you got. And then that's it. Simple as that. Anyone who wants to chip in here tonight who wants to share or talk about their stories, but I'm talking about mine because I really don't like talking about mine. I just do that as an intro to try to get everyone else going to talk about what they see out there. Or if you want to talk about Black Lives Matters, burning down buildings, that's okay. You can press the number one. You got to press one, and then we'll get you on here and bring you on to the show. And the thing is that I see a lot of crank callers, as usual. I always get a lot of those. And I really don't want to entertain that type of call here tonight. Like I said, I just wanted to do a quick show, podcast, where we put it out there and keep the podcast going. Because I believe the foundation of the show has a solid foundation, and we've got a good following here, can be built off of what we're doing here. and we can get results. The question is, we need everybody to chip in and partake. And a lot of it, and we're all living these busy lives where we don't have time. You know, I mean, we're an internet radio podcast show, so you're not going to, you know, you can't. I mean, everyone's got a lot of things going on. Everyone's fighting for their cause right now. People are marching. I'm driving down the street today, coming home, and I'm coming down a small street, and there's two kids sitting there. They're about 8 years old, these two kids, and they're holding up signs, Black Lives Matter, you know, with their mask on, Black Lives Matter. All right, okay, that's fine. Why, you know, we went over this many times. Why do you got to say Black Lives Matter? Why not all lives? Why not? Nobody has ever answered that question on this podcast yet. Do you want to answer it? Somebody can. That'd be great. Why not all lives matter? Why not all people are enslaved and we need to overturn the system and do something to stop what is going on, the tyranny out there, the corruption? Why has it got to be Black Lives Matters? I don't know. I just fail to see that. Why? Just this Black Lives Matter. Actually, I'm hanging up on a couple people right now because they're jerks, I can tell. All right, 657-383-0616. And what we'll do is I'm going to screen a couple calls, but I see a couple numbers here that if they want to hang on for a second here. I got one person that did want to come on here, but they can't get through for some reason, so I'm going to call them because they're sending me a message right now. So I'm going to get them on here. Press the number one time. That's all you're supposed to do, but this person can't figure it out. So I'm going to try to get them on here. Press the number one. And understanding the times in which we live today, blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson.
What if the American people woke up and understood that the official reasons for going to war are almost always based on lies and promoted by war propaganda in order to serve special interests? What if we as a nation came to realize that the quest for empire eventually destroys all great nations? What if the American people learned the truth?
The FBI has foiled about 17 plots to kill Americans during the past 10 years. What it will not tell you is that there have been 20 foiled plots, and of them, 3 were interrupted by members of the public. The 17 that were interrupted by the feds were created by the feds. Why do we pay the government to trick us into believing it is keeping us safe? What if a government that manipulated us could be fired? What if a government that lacked the true and knowing consent of the governed could be dismissed? What if it were possible to have a real game changer? What if we need a Ron Paul to preserve and protect our freedoms from the government? What if we can make elections matter again? What if you could love your country but hate what the government has done to it? What if sometimes, to love your country, you had to alter or abolish the government? What if Jefferson was right? What if that government is best which governs least? What if I'm right? What if the government is wrong? What if it is dangerous to be right when the government is wrong? What if it is better to perish fighting for freedom than to live as a slave? What if freedom's greatest hour of danger is now?
It's critical that every citizen of this country rise up and do something, because the day of reckoning is at hand and time is running out.
Unless we do something, we're going to get the government that we deserve.
How did you let this happen? Wake up out there. You know, it's your children. Don't you care? Look what these people are doing to you.
There are 200 million adults in this country. Why we are letting them get away with what they are, why we're not marching in the
streets. Well, they're marching in the streets now. They are marching in the streets, actually. They are, marching in the streets, but they're doing going about it the wrong way. And we talked about the Black Lives Matter movement. We did that with the Black Jesus Minister last week, you know, burning down business owners and everything. I don't think that's the answer that, you know, to for a revolution and to reinstate our republic or move forward. But I screened a couple callers. I hung up on them. I've got one here I did not screen, so we'll go with 210. Go ahead, 210. What do you want? What do you say?
Hello, this is Grover Washington down here in San Antonio, Texas.
That's what you were waiting on hold to say? That's what you wanted to do? That's right. That's all you wanted to do right there. Good job. Good job.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, hello. All right. Goodbye. You know, that's what we're getting here tonight. I'm not going to put up with it. So press the number one if you want to get through, if you want something of substance to offer here to the podcast. You got to press the number one time, not three times, not four times, because you'll get hung up upon. All right, 812, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Joe?
Oh, hey, what's up, man? I was hoping you'd check in. I was wondering where you. I was scrolling up and down, and I couldn't see you. And then I had these prank callers on there. So what's up, man?
Oh well, you know, spent the last couple of weeks off due to being quarantined for COVID-19 and all that good jazz.
Oh, you got quarantined? You got quarantined?
Yep. Well,
oh boy.
I don't know if I'd call it a quarantine. More like a. You know, 2 week paid vacation.
Well, okay, I got you there. All right.
No,
what did you do during that quarantine? I mean, what did you have to stay like in your room, or what was the quarantine like? Because I hear about these quarantines.
Went out. I went out and walked, exercised, went out to the golf course. Stuff like that.
Did you practice social distancing? Did you practice social distancing?
Well, I mean, I prefer to stay socially distant from everybody these days.
Hey, what do you think about that Black Lives show that we did, whatever? I saw your post the next day. You were like, the hell with these guys. Well, what's up with, I mean, what do you think? Do you think these guys are on board, or these guys are just a bunch of idiots, and they got a bunch of wacky Yahoo Bernie Sanders wannabes following them around? Because, you know, Bernie Sanders' movement died out, so they had to go someplace.
Oh, yeah.
They probably went to Black Lives Matter, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a bunch of the Bernie's cronies needed something to do with their time. Black Lives Matter movement, I'm all for, you know, humanity, you know, all lives matter. I mean, why do we got to make it about race? I mean, you know, we're talking about
I agree.
You know, we're talking about making reparations for something that happened 200 years ago that neither me, you, or even our great-grandparents had nothing to do with. It's in a time zone where they're trying to make us pay for something that's long past. It's kind of like trying to make you pay for a hooker that you slept with 5 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I just got rid of one of those, actually. But go ahead.
But, you know, I'm not a racist guy. No.
Well, that sounded racist, though. That sounded racist, though. And the militias got accused of being racist. They really did. And all the other callers that are waiting, I will get to you, but let's keep this caller on here for a couple minutes, please, if you don't mind. I mean, the militias got accused of being racist and not doing anything and standing behind the Black Lives Matter movement. And they tried to unite those groups, but it didn't happen, obviously. Go ahead.
There are a lot of racist, white supremacist groups out there. I won't deny that. It's just people see what the media's narrative of militia is. You know, they label all militias the same. They don't actually take the time to get to know what the militia's about. They don't take the time to get to know what, you know, the people within the movement are about. They see what the Southern Poverty Law Center puts out there, and they take that for the Bible.
Yeah. No, I agree. Maybe someone wants to comment on that or make a comment on that. Let's go to 203, what their take. And now my take with the militias is, I want you to answer this for me after this caller. Where are they? Why are they not becoming more involved? Why is Black Lives Matter getting all the media attention? I think they're Black Lives Matter is kind of squashing the militia movement in a way. You know, and maybe you can get back to me on that. Go ahead, 203. What do you want to say? This is Connecticut. Go ahead.
Good evening. What do you want to say? I want to talk about those BLTs. I mean, the BLMs. I'm sorry. God, BLTs. I guess I got food in my mind. Who knows? In any event, you know, I think my wife came home from work, and they were having a new driveway put in. And the guy came out, and the guy wanted to know who's authorizing to pay for it. And she says, I am. And, you know, they squawked at that. You know, they said, oh, no, no, no. You have to have the owner of the company authorize payment. You know, you're going to put, we're going to put down, you know, a $50,000 driveway. But what do I think about BLM? Well, it has to do with what I just said. You know, when you go to their website and you make a donation, they receive none of the money. It goes to some other blue company who is a representative of the DNC committee. And when you go to their website and look, you can see that all money donated to Black Lives Matter goes to the Democratic National Committee. And it's split up between Biden and everybody else. I just thought that'd be interesting tidbit.
That's very interesting. Everyone know that, actually. I heard that before, but I did not know that. Is that absolute fact, or is that your opinion based upon what you researched?
It's based on what I researched in the links and the information they have on their websites. And what else I want to know is who's paying for all these pallet load of bricks that are being loaded all over the place along the city streets.
Yeah,
or,
yeah. So they
or
can
the bottles of water.
Yeah, yeah. Who's paying
Go ahead.
For that?
I missed that. Right. That's all I have to say for this evening.
All right, Chad, go ahead.
Well, you know, we talk about the bricks. I'm in construction. In cities, it is common to find pallets of bricks sitting on the sides of the streets that are delivered for projects. It happens. You know, delivery guys are told to deliver the bricks to a certain location. So we have to kind of stop and, you know, look at this. A lot of the stuff has been posted on social media and everything. There's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of instigators out there on both sides, not just the left, but on the right, who would like to keep things fueled. So, you know, I'm going to be honest and say that maybe a couple of those are true, but let's think outside the box here. The average person is not going to pick up some of the bricks that I've seen in those photos and lob it at any distance to make a difference other than smashing their buddies in the back of the head 5 foot away. I mean,
yeah, you got that right.
Some of those bricks were angled pavers that they showed. I mean, okay,
So where are they getting them from? Where are they getting them from?
Well,
now, where are they getting
them
from to do this?
Acme Brick Company.
You can get them from any hardware store. You can get them from, you know, any Lowe's home improvement store, places like that, masonry businesses. I mean,
yeah, but why would an individual, like, for instance, if I was in a movement, I wouldn't say, I only buy a pallet of bricks and have it delivered and give my ID, give my driver's license, give my personal information, my address, my phone number, and then pay with my credit card. So now they know where the pallet of bricks came from because it's going to be delivered down to downtown. You know, I just don't see why would somebody do that. You know what I mean?
Let's go a little further. Who owns the brick company?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Who doesn't own them?
I already called Acme Brick Company, all right, and I spoke with them.
All right.
Acme Brick Company is they're a manufacturer, okay? They manufacture.
Right, who's the owner?
The owner, well.
They don't have
everybody,
one.
Here's the thing. Everybody's saying it's Bill Gates. You know, he's on the board of directors, yada, yada, yada. Okay, so the Acme Brick Company is a company out of Texas. Not a very big company. Not a very big company. And what it is, it's a company that makes the bricks. They make custom bricks and pavers and tiles, things of that nature. And then they turn around and they sell them to wholesale warehouses. They also sell bulk to contractors. You know,
Why can't the local police? Hang on, Jed. Why can't the local? I got other callers on the line. I'll get to you. Just press one time. I'll get to you. I promise. You got plenty of time here. But why can't the local precincts or police departments, when they see these pallets of bricks being delivered, why can't they, you know, surround the pallets of bricks, and so these people aren't, you know, throwing them and pelting them at them. You know, why not just say, hey, look, John over there down the road, he has a dump truck or whatever and a forklift. You know, get this pallet the hell out of here. You know what I mean?
Dude,
why do they got to sit in downtown areas?
The city workers are delivering some of the bricks.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And let's get away from the bricks. They can't afford to use toilets. They can't afford food. Who's paying for all this water that comes frozen?
What do you mean frozen?
Donations.
Yeah. Who's the beneficiary? They're the beneficiary. Who's supplying it? That's what I want. Like the Acme Brick Company. Who owns it? You say Bill Gates, but it's actually his buddy there who owns Hathaway. Now let's find out. And all the money going to BLM and going to the DNC. You know they'll do anything to get Trump out of there.
So it's just like the other day when I noticed a huge donation event of water and things like that were being donated at like the local Walmart and stuff. And that's an awful lot of water. And it was being packaged and getting ready to be put on box trucks and stuff and shipped out. So,
yeah. No, I agree. And for the people in the chat room, yes, I did address the story there with the children, actually, and I addressed the fact that I was placed into custody today, actually, arrested. And I did address that. So I just want to let people know out there. And, you know, and I don't want to say too much. You know what I mean? Because right now I'm already walking on thin ice and I don't want any, you know, to be kidnapped again. So, you know, I don't want to die, you know, because I'm not going to be kidnapped again. But, you know, I don't want that to happen. So I need to kind of like walk on thin ice there, not mention any names, because the maggot that, I gotta be careful. Well, there's a maggot that's listening right now. He's a maggot, and I know who he is. I know who you are. And maybe one day I'll reveal that name to you folks, but now I cannot. But there is a maggot that's on the line right now listening. All right? So I did address that. Now, callers there, let's see here. What we got the callers here want to jump in here. Let's see who was first. Where the heck are you? 717, go ahead.
Hi.
Go ahead, that's Rihanna. How you doing?
You almost said my name. I'm doing great. One of the gentlemen that was actually talking about the foundation for Black Lives Matter, that is actual fact. I don't know if you guys know Graham Allen. He's usually doing the rant. He was actually showing Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, George Soros. All these people are getting these donations that are supposed to go to Black Lives Matter. They don't care. They're basically causing chaos to keep it going, to keep us divided.
But what's your opinion? But we could say they're causing chaos, they're burning down buildings. We could all analyze that, but why? What's the end game result here? Why are they doing this?
Well, my theory is the longer we stay divided, the less time we have to go up and stand against them for stealing our children, for, you know, the ill will that's not only been done towards Black people, but Indian, white people. Let's see who else.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I said that in the opening of the show. All lives matter. Why do we got to say Black Lives Matter? You know, I feel offended by that. You know, I think all lives matter.
You know what I think about all of this? I think the DNC is using all of these people as brown shirts. That's what I think. And in the end, watch out.
It's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible. Go ahead, 717. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Keep a lot of us poor.
Yeah. All right, 717, stay right. I'll mute your mic there real quick, and then we got a bunch of other people that want to jump in. But do you have anything else you want to like say to make a point that you want us to address here real quick?
Well, I do kind of have a little bit of a point that I do want to make. There's so many people that say no lives matter until Black Lives Matter. You got part of the corruption with CPS coming in and stealing children unlawfully. You know, everybody's upset about this, the Black Lives Matter. You need to be upset about this, too.
That's right. We need to be upset about, you see, but I always bring that up, though. All these issues that we're fighting, I always say this now, people, before I get to the next caller, I always say this. The most important thing that I learned from a patriot that passed away of cancer was Aaron Russo. He used to always say, focus like a laser beam, everybody, on the most important thing. And where does that come from? The money. Follow the money. The Federal Reserve Banking Cartel. Focus on them. Eliminate them first, and then the rest, the heads will roll down where they're supposed to be. And we'll be okay. You know, analyze the Federal Reserve Banking Cartel. That's what I always say. But, but all lives do matter. 781. Go ahead. I'll leave everyone on the line. You can jump in if you want to. Go ahead. 781.
Hi, yeah, man. How are you? I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I really like everything you guys are doing on the show tonight. You're making some really good points. And, yeah, if all lives don't matter and just black lives matter, if black lives are really that much more valuable than all the other lives, then why didn't Jeffrey Epstein get more black kids? I don't see any black girls that were on his island. And I think it's because he knows that the white genetics are superior. And if you're going to rape a kid, you might as well rape a white
woman.
All right,
you're done.
You're going to be better off.
Hang on. There he goes. There he goes. Oh, boy. Come on, man. You know, here we go. Yeah, I mean, he did pretty good there in the beginning. But, you know, we don't want to, you know, turn this into, look.
I already
this show is being monitored,
that
man.
One guy.
It's being monitored. Yeah, I know. But, well, I give everyone a chance. You know, I let them do their thing. But, you know, and that's probably why I'm in trouble, you know, because I give everyone a voice. I mean, hey, I'm for the Constitution, you know. Everyone has a voice, you know. 909, is that you? 909, there you go. 909, there you go. Go ahead. 909. All right, you're playing, while playing games. All right, private, we'll take a private caller. They've been a lot of them here. Go ahead.
Uh-oh. Hello, good evening. This is Mike from the chat room.
All right, Mike. How you doing, Mike?
Not too bad. I had called a while back, and I gave you a little bit of my own opinion about family law and getting a good lawyer. Sorry to hear what happened today. I don't think anybody should be arrested unless it's absolutely necessary, and there are people in society who need to be taken off the streets. So that's unfortunate. You had to deal with that baloney today. However, I do want to give you just a little bit of my opinion here. Take it or leave it, but here it is. I'm talking, Joe, you need to do a little bit of self-reflection, and I call it hardcore accountability. Look at yourself in the mirror and honestly ask, is all this my fault? Am I the asshole? And the answer is yes. Joe Gibson is the asshole. Until you can admit it, you won't be able to.
Now, why am I? But hang on. Why am I? Hang on. Let's have a conversation here. Why am I the asshole? Why am I the asshole?
Let me finish what I'm saying. Until you can look in that mirror, and by doing that and calling you're calling yourself out, and that's hardcore accountability. And when you go to the mirror and say, Joe Gibson is an asshole. Joe Gibson is a liar. Joe Gibson is
a
snitch.
Joe
Gibson is a bitch, a cunt, a piece of shit, uneducated, stunod, douchebag, transsexual porn addict, pedophile, bestiality pervert, lowlife, absolute cunt, white
wow.
Trash, I'm all that.
Horrible, oh my goodness.
Son of a bitch.
But you didn't answer my question.
I got to cut him off.
Yeah, he didn't answer the question. Why? You know, why? But everybody's an asshole once in a while, you know? I mean, come on, knock it off. You know, all right, press the number one, new callers there. Hang on, there's the 320. Did you want to say something there, 320? We did talk a little bit about me being kidnapped today. I was kidnapped, and you know, thrown in a concrete box there for a little bit a while. And you know, hey man, that's some serious stuff. You know, I mean, what are you gonna do? I mean, what if they wanted to keep me there for 60 days? What can I do? Who's gonna come to my rescue? Sure as hell not Black Lives Matters, and sure as hell not the militia. So who's gonna come to my rescue? Nobody. You know, so, you know, and a lot of people out there are suffering these kidnappings out there. They're suffering it. And I don't think any of these people should be kidnapped at all. And I don't think I should have been, because I didn't hurt anybody. I didn't really do anything that violated the Constitution of the United States of America or my state constitution. So how do we address it? What do we do? How do we fight back? What do we do? I don't know. If you want to talk about that, that's fine. But 320, I'll connect 320. Go ahead. 320, I think that's Jamie, actually. Go ahead.
Can you hear me, Joe?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Hi.
I was looking for your area code.
You can hear me, though?
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. So I didn't quite hear the first part of your – what happened?
Well, I sent some text messages. Well, I sent some text messages, and I got arrested for violating a protective order. So
okay,
I was in contempt of court. I guess. Well, you see, the thing of it is, though, the temporary restraining order that was served upon me, I never had my hearing yet. I haven't had a hearing yet, so I haven't been convicted of it yet, and I haven't been found guilty of it yet. But they put an ex parte order in there saying no contact, no this, no that, no this, and apparently somebody got some text messages. And they went to the magistrate and swore out a warrant for my arrest, and I was taken into custody today.
Okay, so how long did they detain you?
About 8 hours, maybe.
Did they give a reason why it was just only 8 hours? And
no, they didn't. No, they didn't, actually. Nope. It was supposed to be 48 hours, but it was supposed to be 48, but I was kind of like, I don't want to say anything, but they brought me back. They said I had to wait until I went in front of a judge, and usually that takes 48 hours, but they were able to put me in front of a judge within 8 hours or 7 hours, actually. I waited another hour after that to get released after they cleared me. But I was put underneath something, and I can no longer text or do anything like that or make any contact with that particular individual, otherwise I'm in big trouble. So, yeah, that's what they told me.
So what they did
me.
Is they put you under a Dankl order, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
But my attorney
also.
You're
in a tough spot being put up.
Yeah, I know. But hang on. My attorney. No, no, not an ankle. No, they didn't put me under an ankle order. No, no. They put me under something
else. No,
Dankl. I don't want to say
Dankl.
What's that mean?
A Dankl order?
Yeah, what's that mean?
It's more aggressive than a restraining order.
Okay. Yeah, that's what they did. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they also – well, now listen now. The judge – the first judge I went in front of doesn't like me at all. She can't stand me. She hates my radio show. And she said that I'm not allowed to talk to my children because my lawyer said, hey, can this guy get telephone visits with his kids? I mean, it's been a long time. He wants to talk to his kids and see if they're okay, you know? And the judge said, not after I listened to that radio show, and I'm not allowed to talk to my kids because of my podcast show.
So she's discriminating against you.
Oh, yes. Very much so. So what can I do? I put it out there. I put it out there on the internet. I said, listen, you guys want a poster child to fight against these courts? You guys want a poster child that's going to stand up and say, hey, I don't give a damn. Let's do it. You know, hey, let's do it. You know, but nobody wants to help. Nobody wants to say, hey, well, they did actually today. A couple people are trying to help. They're going to help. They want me to, you know, they're going to have to draft up some stuff for me and do blah, 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 blah. You know, I don't want to get put too much out there. But what I'm trying to say is this is wrong, man. First of all, there's a restraining order for verbal abuse.
Joe,
what the hell's verbal abuse?
Joe,
what the hell's that?
Joe, stop for just a second, though. You should motion to show cause of danger towards the children. Because if they cannot prove that you're a danger towards your children, they have no right keeping you from contact with your children.
Amen. All right.
So
I like
that.
That
up to your
wow,
lawyer.
That's a good idea. Yeah. No, I'm not going to bring it up to him because he won't listen to anything I have to say. He thinks I'm a hothead. And, you know, I mean, he's not a bad guy. He's a really good guy. But he's like procedure type of guy. He believes we should follow steps and do things a certain way and just walk the steps. And in the long run, I'll be okay. You know what I mean? He's like one of those types of people. He's not a bad person.
What's up with this oath of office then? What's up with this oath of office then?
I don't know. I mean, the point I'm trying to make is right now I have not seen my son, my two sons, since May 9th. Okay, and there's some details I put out there about the case. Some people on the line tonight. I don't want to do that on the radio show because there's a maggot listening. A maggot. Well, a maggot serves a purpose. This person doesn't serve a purpose. I don't want to put that out there. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, I miss my two little boys. I was the guy out there that provided for them. I fed them. I brought them to school. I took care of them. I was the provider. And right now I am not allowed to see them and talk to them because of my radio podcast show that I'm doing right now.
Well, for one, if you had inclination of that judge in bad faith before that hearing, you know, you have 10 days to remove a judge from their bench.
Really?
Yes.
So my next court date is...
It's called throwing the judge off the bench. So you go on biased terms.
How do I do that?
Motion to remove judge off bench on biased terms.
Where do I get those motions at? Where are they? I'm sure as hell not going to find them at my courthouse. Where do I get those motions at?
I just gave you the motion.
Yeah, I know, but what's the format of the motion? Remember, every court has a procedure on how you're supposed to file a motion now. So how do I file that motion?
Okay. So you go in county records, and you see how it's formatted, right? So you just reformat it and move motion to remove judge offense on biased terms. And then you give the reason for the biased term.
Okay, I got you. I see what you're coming from now. Okay, I didn't see that. That's good, okay.
I'm just telling you this
because
when I went to court and went through this, I did all this on my own, so I know.
That's why I've been asking you for the last 30 days to help me.
But you never gave me any explanations. I wanted to know, details so I can help you out there, Joe.
I know. Yeah, I know. I understand that. Well, you were on the road.
So I'm getting some reports that Atlanta PD officers are walking off the job, going silent right now.
Why is that? As a protest?
Apparently, yeah, they're in protest of the officers' murder charges. The Bureau of Investigation in Georgia hadn't even begun to do their investigation.
Wow.
And in doing that, the prosecutor went ahead and pressed charges anyways.
So they never followed their investigation procedure.
No. They turned it over to the Bureau of Investigation, and the Bureau of Investigation even said they had no idea the press conference was going to happen or the district attorney was going to file charges, nothing. And they still vowed to investigate.
Yeah, Chad, right here on Twitter, actually, live Twitter, actually, we got one person, Atlanta Police Department, who opens up with a statement like this. Earlier suggestions that multiple officers from each zone had walked off the job were inaccurate. The department is experiencing higher than usual number of call-outs with the incoming shift. Now, they refute that here. Steve Deese, who's Atlanta Police Officer, said, just got this email from Atlanta Police Officer. Atlanta Police Officers are refusing to answer the radio, like Chad just said, and walking off the job. And that was as of 32 minutes ago. The county can go screw themselves. And if you want a society without police, well, you got one. Let it burn. That's what this guy says. Hey,
so,
all right, I like this guy. Yeah, you know.
There's a solution to this. And
Atlanta
zone
PD
three
on scanner and the radio is complete silence. There's no chatter going on at all.
Yeah, that's what I did. Yeah.
Zone
yeah. 3567.
Yeah, everyone gets your pistol permits. Everyone buy a rifle. You know what? And when they come at you, shoot to kill.
Well, you got, well, listen, this guy Ron Coleman says, by the way, you can assume that if there is a job action tonight by Atlanta Police News about it, will be suppressed here, certainly, in the state-controlled media. Yes, that is where we are. So the Atlanta Police Department is protesting these. This, I mean, where do you stand on this, Chad? Well, I mean, I kind of look, man, you know, you got to have law and order. We can't have chaos, people burning down streets and quarantine off cities, saying this is our city, and if you come in here and you bring a Bible in, we're going to beat you up. You know, because isn't that very interesting? If you believe in something, they're going to beat you up, but aren't they supposed to be standing for freedom? You know, so the thing of it is that, you know, what do you feel about that?
It's a catch-22. It is a catch-22, all right? And now, we can't speak to the state of the mind of the officer, okay? None of us are criminal psychologists. None of us were in that officer's head that night. That was happening. But, okay, put it this way. What if that man had turned around, tased that officer, all right, and had that officer immobilized and went for his gun, all right? Then we'd be talking about a dead cop and then a dead black man, all right?
Yeah.
So they would spin the narrative that, you know, black man defended himself against a rogue police officer. Well, here's the thing. When he turned to actually tase the officer didn't really have any choice but to go lethal. Because if he was able to tase the officer and get the officer's gun, it'd be a dead officer. So guess what? He was fearing for his life in that moment. Now, A lot of people say, no, you know, he shot him in the back. You have to look at the angle he shot him at, okay? That he had turned around. When he did that, the officer had no choice but to fire. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation is looking into it. I think the officer would be exonerated.
I would think so. You know, the way CNN or MSLSD plays out on TV is the black man that got shot, he was calm, cool, and collected. They didn't get into any other part of the story. But there's one thing. With all this redoing of the laws and everything, I'm surprised that they didn't come out with when they handcuff a suspect, they don't handcuff him in the front rather than the back. Because if you noticed, this guy didn't go ballistic until he tried to put his hands behind his back. I've been handcuffed many times, and I know... And I know people that have been handcuffed recently. And you know what? Sitting in a car or anything with them behind your back is very difficult.
Well,
so
just for the record, I was handcuffed in the front today.
I have a buddy that just told me that that the mayor and them are trying to suppress any of that information coming out, especially PD walking off and protesting the job. They have backlogs of calls now piling up with zero to respond.
Well, that's the thing, you know. See, you know, but most of those calls, Chad, are a cat in a tree. You know, they're not calls where people are really needed. You know, because police, their time is wasted a lot actually on nonsense.
But
kind of like today, you know.
Okay, here's the thing. All right, a 911 call is a 911 call. Okay, you don't.
Yeah.
You know, we can say cat in a tree or whatever. We can say that, but
yeah.
In reality,
well, everyone that wants to call in, 657-383-0616, press 1 one time, and I'll get you on, all right? Go ahead, Chad. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Chad. I'm sorry. Well, no, I was just breaking out some people's on the phone number. That's all. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I got another way to fix this problem.
Go ahead.
Okay, you know all these people that call in here, all these pansies, these people that live in the basements, these people in the chat room that are warriors behind keyboards who make phone calls and call names, and make them peace officers, because they're all full of piss and vinegar out there. Put them in front of these people and see what they do.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to do anything. You know, the keyboard warriors. Well, social media has created a society within a society. They've created a society that where people can hide behind a keyboard and a computer monitor, and basically and even call into this radio show and make threats and accusations. But and when the bottom line, when it all boils down to it, they're not people of courage, men and women. And the thing of it is that's what we have to readdress here in society. We're not really
hey,
people of courage anymore.
Like that.
You know?
Get Mark Johnson in here.
Uh-oh.
Don't do that shit.
Yeah. Uh-oh. It's not Mark Johnson.
No.
And that goes for women and men, you know?
Well,
I don't know about
you guys. There's rumors about Antifa supposedly supposed to be coming here to Gettysburg, July 4th.
Antifa's coming where?
Supposed to be coming to Gettysburg, July 4th.
Okay, yeah, I heard it. Yeah, I heard that too. July 4th. Yeah, I don't think that's going to work out well for them. I really don't.
Hell's Angels are on their way to Minneapolis.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Another
there
week
you
in
go.
Arizona, I'm back to Minneapolis, I'm back to Minnesota.
And what is the way, I mean, the Hell's Angels, we remember them back in New Haven, Connecticut there, back with Doors concert there. The Hell's Angels that were doing security. The Hell's Angels, so what are they planning on doing when they get there? Are they saying, or are they just riding up there?
Here's the thing. They're not going to do anything, all right? They're going to go there. They're going to flex a little bit of muscle. They're going to make themselves look like badasses for about 5 minutes. Then they're going to get dispersed. They're gonna peacefully leave because they're not the same Hell's Angels from the 1960s and 70s. So, you know, you're going to see, you know, exactly.
You're going to see the bullet heard around the world.
Well, you know, the thing of it is you know, that they're, you know, they say, that, well, they're against Antifa, so you got to, you know. That supposedly are the Hell's Angels against Antifa. You know, you go against, you know, all this stuff, but as they're heading up there, the Hell's Angels, you're absolutely right. They're not the same group anymore. Now, is any group, Chad? We can go back to the militias of the 1990s and the late 80s when the militias had the numbers and the power to step, and they get up in front of Congress and the Senate Judiciary Committee and start bowing down to them. You know, instead of going there saying, hey, you know, you need to change this crap. Remember the assault weapons ban in 1994 by Clinton, you know, and the Weaver story of 1992 and 1, you know, and the Waco story. So the thing with this is that, you know, we can go back and forth here what groups were strong and why they faded out. But today, what group is strong? What group is grabbing the attention of the media? That's the Black Lives Matter movement, you know? Now,
well,
I don't agree with what they're doing. I don't.
No. See, the Black Lives Matter movement and Antifa are just two groups that were sprung up from two different sides of the left to continue divisiveness. And,
yeah,
you know, we can say that, you know, their cause is just all, you know, all we want, yada, yada, yada. But, okay, let's really look at it. We want equality for everybody.
Yeah,
we
hang
don't
on 506. I'll get you next 506. Go ahead, Chad.
We don't need groups for that. What we need is for everybody to stand up and actually come together and say enough is enough. Do I believe there's been systematic
racism? Come together and say enough is enough, and then what? Come together and say enough is enough. We've done that already. Then what? Then what? We've seen buildings burn. Enough is enough. We've seen people get run over, trampled, run over by cars. Enough is enough. We've seen police knock out people, knock protesters down. Enough is enough. Where do we go after the enough is enough crap? You know, what do we do? You know, I say go get Nancy Pelosi.
Well,
can I talk about that a little bit? Enough is enough?
Yeah, go ahead.
These are conspiracies.
I guess not.
Had
people saying that. We haven't had that. Okay. Because not everybody is standing up and uniting together because we've got the politicians keeping things divided. All right? It comes down to the politicians. And when people actually wake up, that's when it'll really start to happen. Everybody says people are awakening. No, they're not, because they're still doing the same damn stuff that both the left and the right are playing them with. They're doing is they're fucking puppets on the street.
Who are we going to elect then? Who are we going to elect in November? Are we going to elect the same old crap that's going to give us the same old bullshit? You know?
That's right.
It's nothing going to happen.
It doesn't matter if you go Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, you know, or Constitutionalist. It doesn't matter who you elect. I agree.
Well, I don't know. I'd kind of like to see a Constitutional Party president in there. I'd like to see a Libertarian president in there. I'm sick and tired of the Republican and Democrat crap. You know?
That's right. Because you can never get the truth out of either side.
Yeah. That's why the two parties...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
The two-party needs to be abolished.
Right.
There should be no two-party anywhere. It should be one. For the republic, for the people.
That's right.
Yeah, republic for the people. Yeah, I don't know who that was in the background, but 506, go ahead. I'm connecting you. Go ahead. Oh, please, don't be this guy.
Hello, bitch.
Son of a gib.
Can you spell that?
You know you're a bitch, right?
Come on, man. What do you want to say? Spit it out.
No, he don't want to
say
shit.
Hello.
He don't want to say shit. Hey, guys. Let me just deal with this cocksucker.
I want you to buy the panties of Jamie Lynn Grubbs. Will you sell me your panties?
The only thing you get
haters going to hate again?
I love you, come Jamie. On. Does your carpet match the drapes? Does it?
Thank you for the Saturday Night Live. Woo-hoo!
What a jackass. What an idiot. God almighty.
Never
fails,
Joe, every time I come on your show.
Every time you come on here, you bring these people with you, you know. You know that, right? You bring them with you every single time.
What
I'm
can I say?
You.
I have fans.
Bring him on the street with a rifle. Hello.
Private caller, go ahead.
I don't like to see them try
caller.
To say something to my face.
Just the bomb diggity.
No, you knocked your ass out. Go ahead, private caller.
Private caller, oh my God.
Yeah, you let one of those in chat.
I don't know, they all want to come on.
They don't want to talk.
They don't want to talk. Yeah, I know. Well, we're not going to carry on the show here for too much longer, but, you know, everyone, unless I get some sensible callers here who add into this conversation, press number one if you want to get in here and talk about understanding the times in which we live today. We're talking about Black Lives Matters. We're talking about me getting locked up in a concrete box. Press number one, and we'll get you on here, okay? So,
Enough is enough. Let me say that for a second. You know, talk about conspiracy theories. What I've been hearing out there and seeing is that, you know, you go to your supermarket and the shelves aren't bare, but they're kind of empty. And you know, you hear about the shortages. Well, yeah, but everything is being packaged and shipped to China in 747s and ocean liners, hogs. Pigs.
Why?
Well,
why is that producing here?
Yeah, but you know who? But you know who's buying it and shipping it? The United States government.
Don't touch the glass. All right, the United States government. And what are they doing with it?
They're probably shipping it over there because they're waiting for September and October to come when the shit really hits the fan. Because because if they don't pull this over with this coronavirus, if they don't pull this over with these BLT people out in the streets, the Democratic committee, they're going to go ape shit.
Well, and so that's another thing, too. Here it is what? Here we are in June. All right? November is coming around the corner. Who's going to win, Biden or Trump? Connecticut first.
Obama.
All right. Well, Obama's not in there. I wanted to know Biden or Trump, because you said shit's going to hit the fan.
Trump's
going to
win again, of course. Trump's going to win, of course, because everybody out there say they're going to vote for Biden, but because you know what? Because they're too afraid to say they're going to vote for Trump. But when they vote, they're going to vote for Trump. Because if they have half a brain in their head, they realize that if they vote for Biden, they're going to get shot. Or raped, or murdered, or taxed.
I don't know where I'll be in November. Maybe I'll have my children back by then. What do you think, November?
World War III will come.
That's right.
Well, you know, the thing of it is that the whole situation here is it's messed up. We started with the little guy out there, you know, fighting against the system, you know. And 619, I'll bring you on right now. Go ahead. I saw where you come in. Go ahead.
Good evening. I wanted to spread a little message as far as, do you know that they were off with the time recorded for the officer that they originally thought George Floyd had a knee on his neck at 8 minutes and 46 seconds, but it was 7 minutes and 46 seconds, and a whole movement was started based on that time. You ask, why is this important? Well, here's why it's important. Because that's the time Dr. Peter Paul Ventura, would take to put a knife to Jamie Lynn Grubb's neck and screw her in the butthole, and she would actually...
Oh, God. All right. Unbelievable. I know. What's wrong with people?
A minute and 46 seconds. So what is he, the Minute Man?
He must be.
Oh, my God. Unreal. All right, we'll just do closing thoughts to the show. Let's do closing thoughts because I got legal work to do tonight. I want to get my kids back, you know? Go ahead, 717, you go first. Go ahead, talk.
I'm good.
Well, she's pissed. All right. Well, that's why?
Because I'm good. I don't like that.
All right, you're breaking up real bad. I can barely hear you. You're breaking up. I probably got too many people on the line. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Probably. I'm just pro Jamie. I don't like that towards anybody.
All right. Hey, Chad. Before I get to the closing there of Chad there and Jamie, let's bring on 614. I think I recognize that number. That's why I'm going to let him on. Go ahead.
Hello, guys. It's been a while.
Yeah, man. Where you been, brother? It's good to hear your voice again. How you doing?
Well, I've been distracted with a great many other things, but it's obvious that we have a cancer that is overtaking this country, and it is the drunkenness of power of these governors and public officials that believe that they can continue to institute any policy they want under the name of safety. So I'm sure that's been the largest part of the conversation tonight. I've missed most of it. But
yeah.
I think what most people are missing in our community right now is who is actually pulling the strings on all of these things, and where is all the funding coming from? And like, if you donate to these causes of Black Lives Matter or Antifa or whatever, these things are going to, you know, the likes of George Soros or the DNC directly in some cases.
Yep.
And it's a very, very literal overthrow, a fear-mongering thing, and it smacks much of the Leninist revolution in history, or even the brown shirts of the Nazi Party when they rose. And it's not necessarily directly saying, oh, everybody's a Nazi, because that's what everybody's immediately going to throw that into, but tactics that are being used are they've already been used in history. It's like a playbook being drawn up and played out before our eyes. We've watched this kind of thing. People will even call for their own enslavement to some degree to quell the kind of unrest that we're seeing out here. They don't want these people running through their neighborhoods, burning down their houses. They don't want them running through their businesses, burning down their businesses and things like that. They don't want to actually.
Yeah, but what do we do on the local level, brother? Brother, what do we do on the local level? Because you said you missed the beginning of the show, and you heard what happened to me. You know, here I am in a dispute here, and I get kidnapped and thrown in there because I sent text messages to a woman that I've been with for 13 years. you know, so therefore I need to be put in custody and put in a concrete box. Come on. What's going on? I mean, this is what we're talking about. Tyranny.
And what they're doing is they're just building a case against you. Okay, so they're trying to form a history of behavior by creating it. And that's been the dialogue of all of this to begin with. We're looking at the code and statute enforcers who don't necessarily enforce anything, no crime against a person. Like, who could make a claim of harm based on a text message you sent that would actually constitute you being thrown in jail? You committed
a
violent...
Exactly what I was saying, Joe, by motion to show cause.
Okay.
Precisely.
I like that.
So you harmed no one. So who brings the claim? Nobody can bring a claim of harm in such an instance. A text message is free speech guaranteed to you by the natural law, self-evident truth, and the Constitution of these United States that actually that describe that right in absolute detail. Those rights, of course, not being given by the Constitution itself or by the authors of that Constitution. It was simply was written as a right of
you're absolutely
all
correct.
Human beings.
You're absolutely correct.
God.
Yeah, you're
so
actually correct, but the individual,
yeah, right to speak.
But there was an order given, by a judge that said, I'm not supposed to have any contact with that individual, that person, and that's the judge. And the judge is supposed to be that person of authority in our county, and I have to obey that judge, don't I?
Well, up to a certain point where it does not infringe upon your right. A lawful order cannot infringe upon your rights.
That's right. Okay. All you have to have in your statement, in your brief, is who, what, when, and where. Who are the bad actors? What is the falsified crime? When did it take place? Where is the crime scene? And I'll let you know right now that crime scene happened in that courtroom. That's your crime scene.
Okay, okay. Well, this person appears to be emotionally distraught, emotionally harmed. So therefore, this person has gone to the court system to stop me from ever harming that individual again emotionally. You know, I mean, the text message could be harming this person, I mean, emotionally, you know, because we got our mental health issues out there, you know, where you say, boo. And, you know, with the sticks and stones break my bones, but names will never hurt me doesn't apply anymore. You know, now names hurt us, you know, and
okay.
We're in a society now where, you know what I mean?
Who? Who said that is hurting her? Who?
Yep.
Well, the victim did. The victim did.
Being hurt,
the victim.
Which, that is a matter of an opinion. Are those standards also being applied equally? Has she
That's
said
right.
harmful things to you that could have harmed you? And I would almost bet that she has said some pretty awful crap. That would probably be legal. Right. So
I actually have it on audio,
standard,
but I never got a chance.
Any standard applied in court, so if they are going to order you not to speak on a certain level because she might be harmed, that has to be equally applied. They cannot decide that she was harmed by your speech, but you're not harmed by hers.
That's right.
That's
well, you're right. So what's the resolution then? So what do the courts do and what do the people do? What's the resolution to all this? How does this resolve? Who's the authoritative figure that says, hey, we got to have law and order, brother. We got to have law and order. We got to have peace. So what do we obey here? What do we obey? You know?
Does not come at the surrendering of your rights, first and foremost. Secondly, law is supposed to be blind and equally enforced. So any claim of harm by your speech has to be equally applied to any speech that may have harmed you that was not nice. And that's kind of
that's
the way
right.
we're applying this here. So either they drop the standard and give you remedy upon the rights that they infringed on you, they drop it.
Yeah.
They have to. Okay.
All right. How much are you going to charge me to draft that up? I need that drafted up, and I need to serve it. You know, I mean, seriously, that's good.
It's really just the most obvious, encroachment on your rights that can be made of such an event. And Jamie and I, I'm sure, could probably come up with something for you. I talk to her on a regular basis. So
yeah, I know that. You guys are my friends. I know that. So, but the thing with it is that I would just been playing it out. And the thing of it is, I've been trying to go about it their way. And their way is where one person gets railroaded and the other person doesn't. And that's not equal justice.
That's where you need to point that out. You have to point that out. That's your job to point that out.
It's kind of hard to do. Well, it's kind of hard to do when you're standing in front of that bench.
Involved. They are painting you as the evil person so that they can later extort from you. That's the point of what they're doing. They are making and assuming from you to be the criminal. They are painting you. And the judge, having preconceived notions of your innocence or guilt and trying you from the bench, you are the only thing that a judge is supposed to do is be the trier of fact. He is not supposed to predetermine that you are already the bad guy and start acting accordingly. That is not his job.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, you're right, and we never had a fact-finding hearing yet. It's still on continuance. So the original, order was never argued yet.
He's acting without fact.
Well, they're saying that this could cause harm to them. So therefore, we have to continue this, so therefore we don't want you talking to this person until we have our hearing, you know?
Could. You said could. The word could means it also could not. They cannot presume anything that is opinion. That is a presumption.
Good point.
That is a presumption of guilt. That is a presumption of your guilt from the offset of the case. They are already biased against you from the outset.
There you go.
Hence the word alleged. They always use alleged, right? Hence that word, because it does not say facts are. It says alleged. Could.
And what does alleged mean? What does alleged actually mean?
That means they have no facts to back it up.
That's right.
It's a presumption.
Until I come in there and get myself in trouble by opening my big mouth.
Now, if you open your mouth and admit to fault, yes, then it becomes a confession.
That's why you stick to your right.
But my whole thing is this, Jamie, real quick, before I get to any other callers there, I want to have him to continue his point. The whole thing is this something that we got to talk about. It all started with the simple fact that one individual, I'm not going to mention names, so I don't want to get myself in trouble, takes off with another individual's children and states, I am emotionally abused and I just don't feel right anymore, so therefore I don't want this person seeing my children anymore. Well, they're my children too. So now we have a squabble. We got a division here between two people. How do you fix that? What do you do? What's the proper way of fixing that?
Well, first of all, there has to be a trial of fact. And they're not trying fact. They are simply taking the petitioner's position, and they are running the case for her. They're not trying any fact. They are presuming that the petitioner is true. They are acting upon that preconceived
notion. And there was an motion also. There was an ex parte motion, therefore, that she receive the custody and care based upon the fact of my radio show, where I had this individual call in and say he was kidnapped.
Ex parte's are unconstitutional.
I know, but how do you get that overturned in this state? How do you do that? That is almost an impossibility. I've read much stuff on that.
You have to claim to have been harmed by their action.
That's
I
right.
I have now.
Like I said, where's that crime scene happening? Where?
You,
that courtroom.
You are the person being harmed. And the presumption that you are not fit to take the children and that your ex is the presumed rightful person to take care of the children, they have already judged you. There is no court. There's no finding of fact. They are presuming everything. All you're doing is going through the motions of procedurally having your affairs administrated for you, and they are going to take your property, which is your money and your children. They've already decided it.
Yeah, they have. You're absolutely correct. And that's what I'm trying to tell some of my family members. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And that's why you're going to go on your basis of equal rights, and you're going to prove fraud through the court.
And
okay, I'm down for it. I have until July 1st. I have until July 1st to do it because that's my next, and before I appear before them. And when they, you know, who knows what will happen. Maybe they'll knock me over the head and kidnap me this time. I don't know. But I have until July 1st.
According to Title IV, they will take your support and they will take a fee from it and the state will make money from it. That's why they are painting you as the villain here. They need a villain.
And why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they, Adam? Why wouldn't they? I'm the guy that has two houses. I'm the guy that does the landscape, and I'm the worker out there. Guess what she does?
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
So, hey, Joe, when we sit down and put this all together, okay, I am going to give you some access so you can check your bonds that they put on you since this started.
Yeah.
And I will show you how they are stealing from you. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Because they've given
you a
court number or whatever it's called, a docket number.
Yeah.
You put that right into the treasury.gov bond calculator. You put your docket number in, and it'll show you every bond that they just put on you.
Wow. Wow.
They're making money.
Wow. I know I got other callers on the line. I know I do. I know I do. I'll get to you. I promise.
Because,
okay, go ahead.
These
I'm sorry.
Bonds,
go ahead.
I'm going to tell you something real quick. These bonds, okay, so I checked mine throughout my court case. The bonds were so high when I did my own paperwork. They bonded me higher the day of my paperwork. My paperwork.
Yeah, wow. Wow. Wow, that's interesting.
That's awesome.
That's very interesting. Well, I look forward to the conversations after. And like I said, if you guys want a poster child to try to overturn this crap here in my state and get some, you know, and it's for the good cause. It's two little boys here that are in that. Obviously, you heard the radio show. I know you did. The little boy called in and said, "Hey, you know, I don't want to be here. I don't like it. I want to go home. I want to go home. You know, and why shouldn't he?" But then again, real quick before I get to other callers. But you know, she's the mom. Why doesn't the mom get to walk out and say, "Hey, they're my kids too. So why can't I get to do what I want to do?" So where do we come at a mediation period or time where we say, "Okay, you know, you can have them this day, I can have them this day." You know what I mean? How does that play out in this? Because she's the mother, she has a right too. You know, I would say I'll stick up for her on that point. You know.
Well, that's when you got to go for equal mediation. Equal. Everything you need to mention equal.
Yep.
Okay.
50% everything.
Okay.
She left of her own volition. And unless they can prove that there was some hostile act that they can actually bring a criminal charge against you for where there was actual harm, 50-50 is the way it goes.
There's not. There's not. There was just disagreements. That's all. Disagreements. We all have disagreements. We have it on this radio show, so we should all be in jail. You know, I mean, come on.
Exactly. They just changed the game according to what's profitable to them.
And
so,
how did they do this?
Right.
How did this all originate, Jamie or Adam? How did this all originate, real quick? How did this all originate? And how has it flourished? And why? I mean, we already know why. But and obviously, you told us how we could stop it. Why? When did this all start?
Greed.
Well, this all started.
It's all over money.
Yeah.
Greed.
It is.
Greed.
So you've got the Bar Association who created all these codes and statutes through the legislators. Okay, they created all these codes and statutes by which they've decided that they can administrate every aspect of your life, including your marriages, by the license that you bought through your marriages. You added a third party to your marriage. So they are third party to all of the property that has been gained through your marriage, including your children. They presume the ability to be able to administrate through those contracts that were undisclosed and unknown to you. at the time.
But Adam, but let's talk about that. Let's talk about this though. Let's talk about the woman out there or the man that say, for instance, say I was an abuser, and I beat her up every day. You know, what does she do? How does she get justice? Let's just, you know what I mean? Because we got to think, there are scumbags out there that do that.
She gets justice by filing criminal charges and actual evidence to be able to convict a criminal charge in actual harm.
Yep.
That is an actual thing.
Yeah, well, good point.
I just want to put that out there because a lot of people are sending me messages. You know, well, there's a lot of women out there that are battered, you know, and beaten, and men
totally
too, actually, you know, and that's disgusting. I don't support that at all. You know, that's not right. You know, and even when you argue, we live in a society where you start arguing with people and you say hurtful things to each other, you know, and that's where it gets, it progresses to a problem where a lot of separation issues happen. That's when, you know, we can go all talking to God and the Republic and all that crap, but, these are why we have to address these issues. But, yeah, man, another 614. Go ahead. 614. Go ahead. You want to jump in here?
Hey, man. How's it going, man? Joseph, this is Ryan. I just wanted to say, if they were on sale, Jamie Lynn's gross panties, how much would you sell them for?
All right. I don't know. I got to get to the callers. I'm going to let you guys wrap it up here in just a minute. All right. Just let's take one more. Go ahead. 517. 571. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. 571. Go ahead. No? Yes? No? Yes? No? Come on.
Hello?
All right. You don't want to talk. All right. You don't want to talk. All right, Jamie, go ahead. Give your closing thoughts to the show, then Adam, and then I don't know if Chad. Chad's still here, I think. And then Meriden, and then we'll wrap it up. Go ahead.
All right, Jamie. To everyone out there, the only advice I give right now and something that I'm working on is abolishing two-party systems. Whether I get anywhere or not, I don't know. But I'm taking it directly to the House and sending it to Washington, D.C., because all I see out there is a political game, and that's not about the people. It needs to be about the people. And that's it.
Tell people how they can get involved. Tell people how they can get involved, too, or how they can contact you. Because, you know, you do a lot of groups out there, you know? I mean, seriously, there's a lot of people out there listening right now. So, go ahead. Well, she was there. Go ahead, Jamie. Well, she was there. I wanted to tell her, but I wanted some people there to try to touch with her if they could. All right, Adam, go ahead. You still there? Go ahead.
I would definitely agree with the abolishment of the two-party system. We have been electing off and on for a long time one party or the other and continuing to get the same thing every time we do it. And whether it's the Democrats who are openly bringing communism and enslavement of all people, or the Republicans who are too cowardly to stand up against it, or just outright complicit in some cases, we are not moving towards freedom or liberty or any of those things. We're obviously moving into a direction of utter slavery and destruction. So the two-party system is being entrenched by our election laws that have set it up so that both of the major parties, Republican and Democrat, always get a pass to get on the ballot, whereas everybody else and anybody else that wants to get on a ballot has to go through major hoops to get on there. And equal access.
Oh, I know that firsthand. I know that firsthand.
Yes, I know you do, right? So equal access to the ballot is not a thing. If you're going to apply one set of standards to a candidate of a particular party, it should apply to all members of any party, and they're not doing that. So they've set up a monopoly. And if anybody believes that there's actually two parties and this isn't a pony show, then, Trump 2020, Republicans all the way, yada, 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 barf. I'm kind of tired of that. We had Bush with both parts of the House and Senate, both sides of Congress, and we still grew more government. We still saw the Patriot Act destroy more rights than just about anything ever passed. We saw it doesn't matter who's in charge. They still do it. So we need real people. We need we the people to actually be able to get on the ballot without the endorsement of the major parties to actually affect change, to bring these courts in line. We need to get we talk about how did this all start? The codes and statutes are being created by Republicans and Democrats in our state senates and houses. And these are all lawyers, bar associates. So you've got bar members who are creating the laws, bar members who are becoming the judges to judge the laws, and bar members trying the laws. They're bar members controlling the entire justice system. We don't have a justice system anymore. We have a private entity named the Bar Association that is actually running an imitation of what used to be justice.
Well, but Adam, brother, a lot of people make a lot of money, though, from this Bar Association. There's a lot of fingers in the pie here. So why, you know, how are we going to convince these people that this is the right thing to do? You know, I mean, because, you know, we got the amount of prisoners out there, people, you know.
You're never going to convince our current legislators, Republicans and Democrats, that this is the way to go. You're never going to do it because they are a part of the problem, right? And a lot of these Democrats and Republicans that are currently in office, the legislators and stuff, they're all bar associates. They're all lawyers of some level. So, no, you're never going to convince them, and that's why we needed to remove the monopoly on the access to the ballot so that we can get the non-lawyers in there. I want the guy that owns the pizza shop in town to be able to run for Senate and have just as much chance to win that as the local Democrat. I don't understand why that's not a thing. Why is that not a thing? Because the local man running the local business has more in common with me than some lawyer that's never worked a real job in his life. And that's the kind of people we're looking at, the career politicians. There are so few women in our levels of government that have actually sat down. They've never worked a fast food job. They grew up, they went to college, they went to Harvard and whatever. They got their law degree and they went straight into politics, and they've done this their entire lives, is manipulate people to get reelected. That's what
you're absolutely correct.
Done.
You're absolutely correct, and it's like getting my name on the ballot here. I've called them, and they're like, "No, you missed our time frame, you know." And I said, "How could I meet your time frame when we had the flu virus and the quarantine? You're telling me I got to get 4,500 signatures, you know, in 60 days. How can I do that? It's impossible. It's an impossibility. They put down these guidelines, but they leave this clause that leaves them not liable, liabilis. They're not, you know, what I mean, where." The head of the county board of elections can waive all the rules and rule in your favor by choice or by, you know, seeing the facts that you could not get on the ballot based upon their rules. But then you go there and you present them with all this, and they say, well, I'm just not going to rule on it, you know, so therefore you're not on the ballot. Well, you could be, you know, so it's a twisted system. There's a back door to everything, you know, there's a back door to this cronyism, and we need to eliminate this.
Sure. So if somebody wanted you on the ballot bad enough, they would just pull some strings and get you on the ballot. And that's why they leave the system open. So these rules are overly broad, they're abstract, and they're applied unfairly to maintain the monopoly. That's what the election laws are. So voting invalid, I would say to a large degree, because you're not voting for anything. You're only voting for what they allow you to vote for or who they allow you to vote for. So the candidates are selected by somebody else long before they ever made it to your ballot. You only get to choose from who
that's
they
choose. Amen. Yeah.
And,
that's right.
And
but, you may have some great points, though. Go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And
well, you made up
laws,
a lot of great points about the – hang on. You made a lot of great points about the lower court system and everything, how we can all get involved. We all need to get involved, whether it's picking up the telephone, sending an email, writing a letter. You know, what are you doing tonight? Are you bored tonight? You got 30 minutes? Write a letter. You know, write a complaint. Say, hey, you're not going to tolerate it anymore. Enough is enough. You know, make your voices heard. You see, motivate the people. You know, and that's where we all started out this podcast here tonight, basically. Adam, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, the other part of that is these lower courts are also the ones that are oppressing the people and forcing these arbitrary COVID laws or orders. They're not even laws. So just orders from governors, and they're being enforced by these lower courts and stuff who are administrating these fines and fees on behalf of people who didn't even make a law to such effect. If you violate some arbitrary safety rule, you don't wear a mask, you don't stay apart 6 feet, you don't make sure all your customers are doing this or that, they're not staying in line, then we're going to enforce a fine on you. These lower courts are also doing that, and they know these are supposed to be arbiters of the law. They're supposed to judge the law, but they're acting upon someone's orders and collecting revenue and extorting people. So, yeah, serious problem with the justice system, where the justice system doesn't even understand or know what a law is anymore. Because a governor's order is not a law. It's not.
Yeah.
And
that's
so
right.
What are they? They're mafia collection agents at this point is basically the way I look at it. They're sending agents out, and they're doing – I don't see any difference between these agents going out and issuing these fines and taking them to these lower courts for collection than the mafia sending out their henchmen to do collection money from the local town. I mean, it's the same thing.
You got that right.
Exactly.
Hey, Adam, thanks for tuning in tonight. As always, much knowledge. But, yeah, I want to get in touch with you about that. And like I said, I got until July 1st. And, but of course, I'll have to go in there before that and present the court, the clerk, with my documents and whatnot, and fight for my children. I need lawful people out there. I'm willing to do it. Hey, everyone has a mission in life, then maybe that'll be my mission. Mary in Connecticut, do you want 2 minutes here, 3 minutes, and then we'll wrap up the show?
Well, I don't know if I need that long, but sure, I'll say something. Adam and Jamie, boy, ditto, I-O, that's, they're right on, that's for sure. They got it down pat, and they're absolutely correct. And, you know, I was always thinking, don't vote, but based on this new information, it really doesn't matter if you vote or don't vote, because they're so corrupt, it doesn't matter anyway. But on the local level, you know, I would say, you know, arm and protect yourself. That's what you need to do, because I think the worst is yet to come. Have you ever noticed the Democrats, how well they put their plan together? If one person says collusion, every single one of them are on TV saying collusion. If one person says fraud, they're all on TV saying fraud. They must have their own TV station that they all watched and we can't, or their own news group or something that the rest of the country and the rest of us aren't privy to. And it is a two-party system. It's not Republican or Democrat. It's them and us. And we're not winning right now because we can see that. But on a better note, all these keyboard warriors out there, this is what we're getting, and this is what's going to be running the country. You've got people calling in here, the Minuteman just now, a minute and 40 seconds, and he's proud of it. He's proud of it. What does that tell you about the rest of the community that doesn't even call in? You know, put them out there. That's all I have to say.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Adam. Thank you very much for joining me tonight on the podcast. Yeah, man, I'll be in touch with you. You know, when you deal with people's children, I mean, it's a serious issue, and you know, that's what's going on right now in my life. And we'll talk more about it in the future. I just want to be a little careful because I don't need to be kidnapped again. That's for sure. All right, everybody. God bless. Take care. Understanding the times in which you're living today.